It's a grand old hello and welcome to Deluded, Melbourne Demons fan podcast. Neats, a hell of a lot of things have changed in the last year, but the D's are exactly the same.
Yes, so just to give our loyal listeners a recap of our past 6 months, we basically decided to voluntarily withdraw from the global economy in December as like a sort of premature strike against the coronavirus. Mm. So yeah, we were kind of like prophets, really.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we decided to do that. So we quit our jobs in America as lawyers, moved to Mexico City for no real reason.
Well, to learn Spanish and to have a bit of an adventure.
That's
kind of
true.
An early midlife crisis.
Yeah. Well, you take a sabbatical every 5 years. So it's kind of on brand for you, I think. but we basically moved to Mexico City where we didn't speak the language and didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
And now we're sort of fluent in both. No, we're not. But anyway, I like to think we are. We're trying to be. But then we've changed careers. So we've gone from employed to being unemployed. So that's something. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we've had an amazing few months until coronavirus hit,
which is crazy.
Really thrown the whole cultural immersion, language immersion, whole thing out the window. But I mean, frankly, the problems we have are pretty trivial compared to what everyone else is going through right now.
Oh, it's just horrible. And it's, it's terrible. And like the Mexican government, just to, you know, add a bit of a political dimension on this podcast, which I'm sure our listeners are here for, you know, the Mexican government has just been quite poor. And so like the president came out last week and encouraged people to sort of keep hugging and kissing and, you know, said basically, you know, Mexicans don't stop hugging and kissing despite global pandemic. So, you know, we're in really good hands at the moment. But no, we're sort of cooped up in this quite small Mexican apartment. I'm a little bit like a dog that just needs to be let out of the house like four times a day.
Yeah, it's been a delight spending this time.
I know. I am the worst person to be quarantined with. I must be so annoying.
And now we've lost footy.
Yeah.
The one kind of semblance of normalcy. Although, what did you think about the AFL's decision to go ahead with round one? I thought it was pretty bizarre.
I thought it was just so incompetent. I mean, the season was always going to be suspended. And I just don't know why they were so obsessed with going ahead with it. I mean, we didn't even record a season preview, which I apologize to our loyal listeners for.
I'm sure people are devastated. Yeah. Just
that they missed our sort of initial predictions for the season. But no, it's true. We didn't even record a season preview because we were so convinced that it was going to, that the whole thing would be a non-starter.
Right. I mean, because usually the AFL, frankly, just follows the lead of other leagues around the world. When you have the NBA, the Premier League, all these different leagues suspending, I mean, it's only a matter of time. And the idea that they would keep going until one player in the whole competition tested positive and then they'd have a 30-day suspension, it was just bizarre.
It makes no sense. And I think it also, I mean, what did you think of the actual football games? I thought it was really awkward and eerie.
Well, no, this is one thing I disagree with you on. I was very skeptical. And frankly, we watched a few highlights of some of the games before Melbourne and I was like, this is like watching a tap cup game. There's no atmosphere.
I thought it was really boring.
But when the Melbourne game came on, frankly, I got just as into it as with any other game.
Really? I was definitely not into that game, but we can analyze it further later. But I don't, you know, maybe
I think there's different reasons you went into that game.
Yeah. Here's the question. Would it have been better witnessing that shellacking with like, you know, 40,000 screaming West Coast supporters and a, you know, sort of riding every umpire, favorable umpire decision and every sort of slick piece of ball movement by West Coast? Or do you think that we were fine without it?
I don't know. I mean, look, it was a bit surreal to watch, but I still really got into it. And I do now understand better the idea that, you know, you do want some level of normalcy at this time, right? And now we've lost the AFL rightly. And I'm a bit sad about that because it was exciting to think about
Other than coronavirus.
Yeah, you know, what do you think about Bedford? Or, oh, look, it's Neil Bullen again. You know, things like that. It kind of keeps you going, you know? And I don't know. Now I'm a bit sad. And who knows what's going to happen to the league? It seems a bit
So what are your thoughts on this player dispute? Are you sort of in the Lee Matthews camp? Or are you in the Jack Rewa, we put our bodies on the line because we did a charity match camp?
Well, yeah. I mean, my understanding of the dispute and having been following it very closely is that the players have made some statements which weren't very well advised, suggesting that they weren't willing to take, you know, big enough pay cuts in case the league really is at risk of toppling over. But I don't know.
But their statements were effectively like, we did these charity matches during the bushfires. So, you know, we're so, I agree with Nick Riewoldt. That's not really winning the PR battle. I mean, at a time when you championing your work during the bushfire crisis, I don't think is helpful in this instance.
Yeah. Look, they haven't been very smart, I don't think, in how they're framing it. And I do think Dangerfield comes across as a bit smug and annoying quite often.
Yeah. Well, they've offered 50%, right? And the league wants more. The league wants sort of closer to like 70, 80.
I thought they've offered 20%. Is it 50%?
No,
but only for the next 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, at the end of the day, the players are workers like any other group, and they do need to, you know, advocate for their own interests. So I respect that.
I mean, we're
that.
In a capitalist society. I mean, like, well, you know, we don't have a problem. Well,
I don't know about the capitalist society piece. I guess for me, it's more so.
But you can try and negotiate the best rate for yourself in any type of, you know, in any type of job.
No, but I mean, if they're threatening the viability of the league, that's a problem. But for me, the issue is there's a lot of players who don't earn a massive amount of money, right? And it's a problem when the people who come out there are Dangerfield and Riewoldt, who are making several hundred thousand or $1 million a year. But if you're some rookie-listed player who's making, I don't know, 50, 60,000 or even a player making 100,000 and you lose your job and your house is on the line, I mean, that's real things, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I do feel a bit sorry for them. I just think they've been pretty incompetent in the way they've described all this.
Yeah, I don't know. My view is that I think it mostly sheds light on the sort of precarious financial position that the AFL is in.
Right.
I mean, the fact that they even wanted to go ahead with round one is baffling to me.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of suggests that they must be in real...
thirsty.
Seriously, like, was the money that useful? Like, from round one? I mean, obviously it was financially. And so for me, that's the part that really stuns me, is the fact that they are in a seriously bad situation financially if they need to play abridged round one with no atmosphere and, you know, just for the television rights.
And they're talking about cramming games into November and December.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing. Let me ask you a question, which probably is a bit absurd given our performance against West Coast. But if Melbourne happened to do well this season...
I mean, based on the performance we saw, there was no chance of that.
But let's say it's some like weird 10 game round robin or something and Melbourne happens to do okay, which is not impossible. Given smaller number of games, you're more likely to have just weird random variables on top of that. Would you feel conflicted about Melbourne winning a premiership this year?
I mean, would I feel conflicted? No, because I'll take what I can get as a Melbourne supporter. Right. Like, I was excited about what was that game with the Zupa Dupas? Oh, AFLX. I was happy about our AFLX premiership. I mean, that was enough to really get me going. So, you know, like, I will take what I can get, Kieran.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. And right now, we're not really going to get anything. So let's talk about the West Coast game.
Gosh.
Fairly briefly.
Let's talk about, first of all, the documentary series, To Hell and Back.
Oh, yeah.
So
which is probably the best thing the club has done in a good 10 to 15
years. Right, except they're still in hell. That's the problem. Like, this whole series, again, this is poor marketing by Melbourne.
No, it's good marketing. It conned us into believing that they're not in hell.
Yes, but now that we all have seen how poor they really are, as if anyone is going to buy memberships to revive this club, it's probably going to end up merging with Hawthorn. This might be the year.
I don't think Hawthorn wants us, frankly.
I mean, look, they might not have a choice.
I don't know. I mean, I think, honestly, people are going to say it is a very weird game, right? Because keep in mind, the players got into West Coast, got into Perth very late at night because they took some super late flight for some reason. And then when they got there, they found out that the season was going to be suspended for 10
games.
No,
I thought they already knew before. Wasn't Gorn saying something to the effect that they knew a couple of days before that it was probably going to be suspended?
No. It is on the day of the game.
Okay.
So there's that. And then they're playing, frankly, probably the best team in the league or pretty close to it. I mean, you look at West Coast team that they put out there. It is full strength. It had Tim Kelly, had Nick Nat back.
Nick Nat destroyed Gorn.
Yeah, Gorn didn't have a great game. You know, look, I think the team was pretty poor and we'll talk about all of the weaknesses, but I mean, West Coast was very good.
West Coast are an amazing team and they're exactly what we're not. That's the thing. They really expose us. They're just such a good kicking team and they're slick.
Yeah.
We're just not. We just look so poor with the ball. And so let's talk a little bit about, I mean, Gorn said he was sort of proud of the Brave performance. I'm not sure why it was brave. I'm not sure what part of that suggested bravery, but
I mean, his point, I think, was, you know, they arrived late and so on, but I thought he was really overselling it. I was actually very disappointed in that press conference.
Me too. I thought he'd be a lot more blunt.
Yeah. I love Gorn and he's, you know, he's a really impressive guy, but you listen to him and he's like, you know, we felt right in the game till the end. And I'm like, did you watch the same game?
Well, he played it, but yeah, I just feel like it did not feel like that at all.
No, no, West Coast were clearly ahead. And okay, the statistics suggested the game was closer, but no one seriously watching the game thought the teams were close. And in the third quarter, I think there was one tackle laid by Melbourne in the first, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think they really came to play in the way they wanted to.
I agree. One positive, Jack Viney.
Yeah.
Gosh, he was awesome. And he was the only real Melbourne midfielder who could sort of hang his head high. Hold his head up high is what I was trying to say.
No, he was fantastic. And I hope that maybe giving up the captaincy helps him.
Yeah. Just drives him. He's just going to be so ruthless.
He looked like he had a bit of a point to prove.
Yeah, I agree. But he played great.
He was fantastic. And in terms of experience, I think Jones not playing actually did hurt us.
Yeah, I agree.
Because just Jones had a very good preseason. And
forward line.
Yeah. So,
and Salem as well with his kicking.
Salem. So there was some excuses you can give them, but geez, a lot of problems. I just don't need to know needs if we've fixed any of the problems from last year.
I think we're still in hell. That's why I think that this media team has just released this documentary far too quickly. It all works fine if the team has a good season, but if they look exactly the same as last season and if they finish second last again, which they very well could, I mean, based on what I saw at least, I mean, I don't know, maybe they're not going to finish second last. It seems a bit extreme.
And frankly, this year, I don't know if ladder positions really mattered that much.
True, but
I mean, Goodwin's not going to lose his job based on this year, even if we're bottom of the table, I don't think.
Well, let's talk about Goodwin in a second, but just in terms of our problems from last year, kicking and delivery, still terrible.
Well, it is the same thing, we did really well in the inside 50s, and we both didn't have good targets up forward, and absolutely butchered it.
Yeah.
Absolutely butchered it. And you look at our forward line, you've got like Mitch Brown fighting with weed for this weird spot of the like ineffective key forward.
I like that that's a sort of slated spot now on the whiteboard, the ineffective key forward spot. Yeah.
Right. And Tom McDonald, just an absolute shadow of 2 years ago again.
Do you know, that's the problem, right? We do have just players who are just down, and the trajectory hasn't been helpful. So
yeah.
Tom McDonald, 7 touches and 2 goals, admittedly, but still. Hibbard seems to be sort of struggling a little bit.
His disposal's just so mediocre. He just kicks it long and high.
It wasn't great. Gus, struggling a bit. Couldn't get into the game.
Such a disappointment. Yeah. Some really big turnovers. Look, he got a bit better as the game went on.
Yeah.
But when the sting was in the game, just looked lost again.
Well, he just wasn't really to be seen. And then Jeddah, actually, I hate to say it. That breaks my heart. No. But
criticizing Jeddah feels wrong.
Yeah. As a Melbourne supporter, we're just so used to being like, Jeddah is the most underrated player in the competition. But he didn't have a great game. So that was, and look, it's round one, and we might not see this team again this year, but just keeping in mind, it is round one against West Coast with really not that much to play for in a lot of ways. And, the world is, it's kind of the apocalypse, right, at the moment. So, I don't know, keeping all that in mind, but the game wasn't that positive.
But keep in mind, right, the whole point of the preseason is that we're the fittest we've ever been.
Yeah.
Burgess has done all this stuff. They didn't seem all that fit. I mean, there was so much space for West Coast to run around.
Tackling was poor.
Tackling was really poor. And then you'd think with West Coast not having the crowd advantage, that would be a leveral as well. Didn't see any sign of that.
Well, here's my question. What did you think of the new recruits? We've got a bunch of them. So let's talk about Langdon. So Langdon, he's got real strengths as a player. We finally have like a good wing. We finally have a wingman.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should say that. We should finally have a wingman who's really quick. And he looks like a good tackler and he seems like a nice guy and all that. Oh. But,
now the hammer's about to drop.
Well, no, but the disposal is just...
Jesus, yeah.
It's just, pretty it's bad, not really it? Like Bradley Hill, is it? Like, and that's the thing, right? I mean...
And I talked him up hard last off-season.
You did. I was much more critical.
And I'm still hopeful, but geez, his disposal's a lot worse than when I watched him in Fremantle.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just not seeing him enough. I didn't realize how weak it was, but so many chipped kicks. He had this one kick at half back where he just kind of hacked it up in the air.
Yeah.
It reminded me of some of the kicks I would kick. Like, it's really bad. Really, really bad. It went like 15 meters up in the air. It didn't even spin properly. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, that's
not
great.
But look, he battled hard. He got 31 touches. He did spread well. Like,
he's a good runner. No, of course.
If he can sharpen it up, and maybe he handballs a bit more, could be helpful.
I mean, but isn't he meant to be like our sort of slick winger?
Yeah. Well, look, he's...
Isn't he meant to be our Lockie Whitfield?
He's our accumulating winger.
Okay. Let's not try and hope for too much. All right. So what about Tomlinson?
Tomlinson was pretty mediocre, but...
I thought he was great, actually, during the preseason, but he just sort of disappeared a bit.
Yeah, didn't get much of the ball. I mean, look, when he was playing at GWS, he was on the off wing, where they didn't kick the ball, and Whitfield was the on wing. So I guess maybe we've decided that Langdon is the on wing, and we'll try and, you know, set our attacks through there and leave Tomlinson on the other side. I don't know, but he was pretty quiet. Game one, give him a bit of time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mitch Brown.
Look, Mitch Brown was underwhelming, also solid in the preseason. So I can understand why they played him. To me, it's just so sad that Weed isn't playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real kind of indictment on Weed, to be frank, yeah. That like he's in the reserves at the moment.
Particularly in a game with two ruckmen.
Yeah. Right?
Gawn was getting slaughtered by Hickey and Nickner, and surely you want Weed to be able to come in and help out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what that says about his standing in the team at the moment, but
yeah.
Doesn't look to be good. Does part of
just on Weed, does part of you think that at some point we might just need to say, look, you know, we're staking a lot on this guy. Let's just play him.
Just see how we go.
And see what he can do, particularly in this bizarre season where it doesn't look like much is going to come out of it. Just play him. And if he's no good at the end of this year, maybe we have to trade him.
I'm always very nervous about trading key forwards very early because you never know. They get to like 26 and then all of a sudden they're just like jacked and able to actually stick all those marks. And so I get very nervous about doing that.
I just think other young forwards have shown more.
I agree.
We'd really had maybe two really good games, and admittedly there were finals.
Yeah.
But geez, he's played quite a bit.
But that's the problem. I think they would say that they have given him a lot of games, maybe arguably when he didn't necessarily deserve them. So it's just unclear what they're going to do. And this season, who knows? But Cossie Pickett. Let's talk about some positives.
What an upside.
I just wish he'd kicked those two goals and then he would have finished with four. Gosh, he's good.
He just looks so good.
So good.
Just so instinctive. Finally, we took a bit of a chance on like an exciting player high in the draft. I'm really happy with the club for doing that. Yeah, he's a reason to watch the games, right? Even in the last quarter.
I was just cheering for him, basically, by the end of it.
Oh, he was great.
He's awesome.
And the other debutant, Bedford, I mean, he made a couple of mistakes, but he looked pretty lively as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad they're playing him. I'm good for him. He's come from nowhere.
What pick was he? I can't even remember.
I think he was pretty low.
Yeah.
In a draft maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. So, yeah, he's done really well. I was happy to see him. So there was a few bright spots. I just think, like, all of our players who were down last year were pretty down again. Some of our, you know, purported stars like Petrarca were okay. Clary was okay.
Clary was kind of a bit of a non-event for the first half. I think he was probably being tagged pretty hard.
Yeah.
I do wonder, what does this year do for Simon Goodwin? So he's under, because the fact of the matter is we have a very hard first six rounds.
Yeah.
And if the games had continued being played, and we'd ended up with sort of one or two wins or something like that after sort of, I don't know, 6 or 7 rounds, he would have been in real strife.
Definitely, yeah.
Real strife. So does this just like prolong his, I mean, is he still just going to be I guess what can they do? They can't sack him now.
No, and look, I mean, who knows how many games we'll get. My guess is that we'll, let's just say there's, I don't know, 10, 15 games and we win, I don't know, 5 or 6. I don't think they're going to sack him in that situation. And frankly, I think it would be a bit harsh to do so. I mean, it's such a bizarre season, right? Like, it throws off the preparation completely. I mean, how are the coaches meant to even prepare the players?
Completely. I mean, the one thing I would say is that I do think it's a, you know, Gawn was sort of at great pains to tell in his press conference to say that, you know, this was an improvement and this does look different, like a different Melbourne team. It's not the same. I mean, for me, it just looked exactly the same, right?
Absolutely.
Just like skill error after skill error, poor spread, turnovers, etc. So if the team doesn't improve and just looks exactly the same, I mean, at what point do you just sort of say, we can't keep pursuing with this? Because, I mean, you get into next year, and you see round one, similar mistakes, poor kicking, you know, poor forward mid connection, winning the contested ball. I mean, what do you do?
But then, Nitz, you think about the financials of it, right?
Yeah.
The club is probably in serious financial strife now. It's hard to know how bad it's going to get. We can't pay out a coach early.
No, completely.
You know, so that might make the decision for us. It might just be a situation where you just ride it out. Yeah, I don't know.
What a weird year.
I just hope we get some footy again, but I mean, it's hard to. At the moment, I'm pretty skeptical that we'll get anything.
Well, I'm more skeptical we'll ever leave the house again. That's my bigger concern right now. True. So
footy is second.
This is, but it's, you know, real. If we get to leave the house and explore Mexico, that would be nice. I want my eat, pray, love sojourn to continue.
That would be good.
Nitz,
despite no matter how big a crisis there is in the world, one thing must continue.
What is that, Kieran?
The Rowan Bale Award for most underrated performance.
Of course.
Yeah, that's what the fans are crying out for. I'm going to award it don't care about your opinion on this because you've always been a hater. May's job on Kennedy, I think, was very good.
He did a great job, May. He really did. He did a very, very good job. Kennedy was a non-event.
Yeah, absolutely. And given how much ball was going in there, I mean, look, Kennedy didn't seem super sharp either, but I like the look of May back there.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good kick out.
He's got a great big leg, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The thing I didn't love was that all these goals kept coming from like Archie and all these other, you know.
Yeah.
As I've said, Melbourne is extremely good at like reinventing people's careers.
Well, were you pretty surprised that they didn't play Marty Hoare?
Yeah, I was actually.
And he didn't do a huge amount in the preseason, but at the same time, he had such a good year last year.
Yeah.
And to play I think Oscar was
okay. He won our riveting game against Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, but even in this preseason, I think he was promising. So I don't know, a bit surprised by that, a bit surprised by the decision to select Spargo.
Yeah, well, you've never liked the little people, have you?
No.
Kieran always suggests that
Spargo... I do discriminate against.
Yeah, Spargo and I are of similar sizes and therefore...
Well, I just think...
About 5 inches shorter than Spargo, don't you think?
I just think if you're a little person, you need to have something elite.
Like right? Daniel Lloyd.
Like, or
Brent Daniel.
Oh, Brent Daniel, exactly, right?
And not Daniel Lloyd. Am I thinking of the right guy?
I don't know how short he is, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of Brent Daniel.
Yeah, Brent Daniel, yeah. Or Caleb Daniel, or any Daniels.
Caleb Daniel, yeah. That's it.
You need to have something. I don't think Spargo has that. I've never seen that. So a weird decision. But anyway. Look, normally at this stage, we'd be litigating the selection decisions, thinking about the VFL form. Now we're just wondering if it's ever going to start again, right? So it's all a bit depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I hope everyone out there is staying safe and taking care of themselves and their mental health and everything. You know, it's a very, very challenging time for everyone in the world at the moment. So, yeah, our thoughts and hearts and everything are with, I was going to say prayers, but that seems a bit too biblical. So our thoughts are with everyone in the world right now from the deluded family.
Definitely, definitely. And look, we will hopefully be back with you in a couple of months from now. Hard to really say.
Yeah.
But we'll be riding out the storm in Mexico City and thinking of better times and probably watching some old clips of D's wins from 2003.
Yes. If you have any old D's clips you'd like to share with us, please do. And if you have any ideas on how we can sort of improve the podcast this year, I mean, being unemployed, we actually have time to dedicate to this task now. So if you've got any ideas on improving the podcast, including substituting Kieran for someone else, that's welcomed. Yeah.
Well, until the future resolves itself, go D's.
Go D's.